Okay, starting a new Masechet today, Masechet Tmura. Let's just go through some basics about Tmura, even though we've seen it before. Maybe there's new people listening. And anyway, Chazara is always a good thing. Okay, the pasuk about Tmura appears in Vayikra Kaf Zayin, right, near where we've been the last little while. In Vayikra Kaf Zayin, pasuk Yud, or really it starts in pasuk Tet. If you take a behemah, you sacrifice to God. Okay, so the animal will become kodesh. You can't switch it. Actually, uses a double lashon. You can't switch it, and you can't switch it. Right? Hamara is also replacing. Okay, you can't switch it. You can't replace it. Tov bira o ra betov. Not only switching a good one for a bad one, which obviously would be a problem to downgrade your animal, even ra betov, even taking a bad one and switching it for a better one. Be'im hamer yamir behema beveima, and if you do it, here comes the penalty. V'hayahu utmurato yeh kadosh. Not only is the first animal you designated sanctified, but even the one that you replaced it with is also going to have sanctity, so now you're out two animals instead of the first one that you had offered. Obviously, we're penalizing you. So the first thing to note, I wanted to go a little bit, it's always good in the beginning, to go into Tamei HaMitzvot. So the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch each bring Tamei HaMitzvot. The Rambam is interesting. It's at the end of Hilchot Tmura, which is it's the last section in Hilchot Korbanot of the Rambam, and it kind of ends all of Korbanot. So it's like an interesting way to end. So if you look at the Rambam, Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Gimel, which we're going to see when we get next to Masechet Me'ila, also in Me'ila, the Rambam has the same type of thing, which also Me'ila ends Sefer Avodah, and here he starts talking about Tamei HaMitzvot. Okay, he goes on a little discourse on Tamei HaMitzvot, both by Me'ila, both by here. It's interesting, here he even references, like I said, in Me'ila, because Korbanot comes after Sefer Avodah. So he says here, starting in a little bit into Halacha Yud Gimel, just like I explained at the end of Me'ila, everything in the Torah is a gzera, meaning we don't really know the reason. But it's worthy anyway to look into thinking about what the reasons are behind the mitzvot. Any kind of explanation you can bring is good. Obviously, one could argue with that, right? Because as soon as you give an explanation, maybe one could claim, exception, it won't be relevant here. But he actually thinks, try to find reasons. Okay, they attributed it to Shlomo, that he knew all the reasons. Yir Eli. So now he's going to try to explain, what do I think is going on here? Shezeh shamar katuv, v'hayahu t'moto yeh kadosh. Kinyan sha'amar, just like, and interestingly, he's going to quote something we just learned. Ve'im ha'magdish yig'alet beto. If someone sanctifies his house, and then he wants to redeem his house, remember, the house goes to the Beit HaMikdash, but it doesn't really, what happens is, right, you give the value of the house, but if you yourself, remember we made a distinction, if you yourself pay the value of there's two options that could happen. Three options. The Beit HaMikdash could take over your house, okay, which doesn't usually happen because it's not so relevant. What's the Beit HaMikdash could do with a house that's not, you know. So what it really means is you're giving the value of your house. So either, now your house is sanctified, so what do? You pay the value, and it becomes yours, or the Beit HaMikdash pays the value. A random person pays the value. If you don't redeem it, they can redeem it, and then they get the house, basically. Now, the difference between you and someone else redeeming it, remember, you have to add an additional chomesh. So why is that? So he says it's the same thing here. Chamishit kesef erkecha alav, right? V'yasav chamishit erkecha kesef alav. You have to add a chomesh. Yada Torah l'sof machshevet ha'adam u'ksat yitzro hara. The Torah basically got into the mind of the person and a little bit of his yetzer hara. Sheteva shel adam notel laharbot kinyano v'lachus ha'mamono. People want to acquire things and they're always conscious of their money. Va'af al pisha nadar v'yigdish, and even though he promised something to the Beit HaMikdash, efshar shechazar bo, maybe he changed his mind, b'nichem, v'yivdeh b'pachot mishtivyo. Now what are we worried? That maybe, now value of items, we know, okay, we've dealt with this all in Bava Metzia about Ona'ah, and value of items fluctuates, and it's different depending on who says it. It could be he'll say, the value of my house is X, and he'll give that amount to the Beit HaMikdash, but he'll really undervalue it because he doesn't want to pay so much money for it. Amra Torah im padal atzmo yosif chomesh, and that's why if he himself redeems it, he has to add chomesh, because we're worried that he's going to try to undervalue what it was. V'chein imikdish behema kedushat haguf. And likewise, if a behema then has sanctity of its guf, which, now what's the difference between something kedushat haguf and kedushat hamim? The house just had kedushat hamim, its value, so you could redeem it. Kedushat haguf you can't redeem. Shema yachzor bo, but maybe he'll change his mind. V'kigon she'eno yachol lifdota. V'kevan she'eno yachol lifdota, since he can't redeem it, what will he do? Yachlifena b'pchutami menemet. He knows he can't pay the value of the animal and say, I'll give that instead. But he thinks maybe he could just swap animals, right? It seems logical. But what's he going to do? He's going to swap it for something valued at less. Now, the Torah also said even if you swap it with something more, so why can't you do more? What's good and bad? Good and bad is subjective. So you could say, I'm going to switch it for this animal. I think this animal's better, when really the animal's worse. But he could, you know, there's always an argument to make, oh, this aspect of the animal is better, and you could argue. But really, he'll kind of fake things out. So we want to avoid that. And therefore, so first of all, they said, no way can you change. And not only that, kanso, and they fined him, penalized him. Okay? And now comes the Rambam's big thing where he says, so that, okay, we understand. We want to basically avoid someone playing around and changing values of items and trying to get away with it. The Rambam sees this as an example of trying to make people into more perfect people, saying, don't get so caught up in your money and what, you know, and the value and what you have to give, but to make you a better person. Likewise, all the laws of the Torah are basically given, right? You can see why he's ending his book with this, right? Especially Korbanot, which is bichlal, difficult to understand. They're etzot merachok, from gadol ha'etzah, from God, to make us all better people. Okay, that's the Rambam. Sefer HaChinuch gives a different reason, which is interesting. He gives a different reason, and then he quotes the Rambam's reason also. And his reason is, Mishoshe HaMitzvah Sheratza Hashem Baruch Hu Lahatil Mora B'Lev B'nei Adam B'chol Inyanei Hektesh. He wanted to put the fear of God in people about Hektesh, to be scared. And you think about Nadav and Avihu, and, you know, get people scared about Hektesh. Hektesh is really something special. Like I explained in Parshat Truma, Sham Tirel Tzara Pshat Kavanatenu B'Chomer Hagadol HaRa'ola Nun Hog B'Kodesh. Right, we have to be super careful with it. Al Ken Kidei Ligbo B'Libenu Mora'at Inyan HaKodesh Siva Katuv. So now, what does Tamura have to do with this? Libal Nishaneh HaDvarim. We can't change anything. Okay, once something has sanctity, it can't be changed. Okay, and that's the whole idea. This is all talking about, nothing can be changed. Whatever it is, we can't play around with it. It's almost like Nadav and Avihu. Right? We can't bring our own Esh into the Mikdash. Right? We have to do things in a particular way. You change one little thing, which seems little, it's really big. Okay? And then, you know, don't think that you can uproot the Kedusha. Okay? V'im yotzi adavar mipiv. Right? As soon as you say something, right? This is the other aspect that's unique about Tmura, that it's, we're going to get Malko for it. We're going to see right away, even though it's what we call Alav She'en Bo Maaseh. There's no actual act. It's just words. Right? You've basically expressed that you want to change the sanctity of this animal to another animal, and that already, generally, we call that Alav She'en Bo Maaseh. We say it's less significant, right? But here we see it's very significant. Okay, with that, we're going to start the parak. Hakol mimirim. Everyone can do tmura. There's going to be a little bit of a problem. What do you mean? We just said it's usur. How can you say everyone can do tmura? Okay, we're going to explain in a minute. Echad anashim ve'echad nashim. Okay, this applies both to males and females. Lo she'adam rashai lahamir. Don't think that you're allowed to do this. Ela she'im heimir mumar. If you did do it, it's effective. Okay, that's what it means, hakol mimirim. Everyone's tmura is effective, both males and females. V'sofeget ha'arbaim, and you get 40 lashes. Okay, so a few things we're going to deal with, the way, the wording, and even though I just kind of explained it, the Gemara is going to have a lot of issues with the wording in the Mishnah, because really hakol mimirim sounds like everyone can do it, and of course everyone can't do it, it's usher to do. Anyway, we'll get back to that in a minute. I want to talk for a minute about the sofeget ha'arbaim. Rashi says, why do you get Malko? Mishum lav de lo yamir, right? Because it says lo yamir in the Pasuk. Toso points out, though, that there's a bit of an issue here. V'i tema tosfo de misofeket ha'arbaim amai lo tane shmonim. Why doesn't it say 80? Because what does the Pasuk say? Lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir oto. there's two words used, two lotas says in the pasuk. We've seen many times where you can potentially get double lashes, triple lashes, right, for one avera, but because there's multiple lotas says. So Tosafot gives two answers. Either when it says sofeget ha-arba'im, it doesn't actually mean you only get 40 lashes, even though it used the lashon of 40. 40, by the way, is always 39, right? It's not really 40. But maybe it means you get, right? Either it means you get one set of malkot, which Tosafot is struggling with, or maybe sofeget ha-arba'im is just a catchphrase that means you get lashes. So the first answer of Tosafot is, it gets lashes, but delo nachat l'minyan malkiyot. It just doesn't talk about how many you get, even though it does use a number. The second answer of Tosafot is, maybe you really only get one lav here. And the reason why it said, lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir, is one is for your own korban and one is for your friend's korban. Okay, that maybe it has to do with that. Anyway, that's also a bit of an issue, but we'll leave it at that. There's a bit of a debate about what this means, sofeget ha-arba'im. Does it mean exactly 40 or 39, or does it mean maybe even potentially two sets, and it's just telling you generally? Yeah.
Do you think it's significant that the Erchin also started with the same language?
Yeah, so, right. So what we saw in Erchin, we actually saw this Mishnah. In the beginning of Erchin, if you remember, we said we're going to see this exact Mishnah in Temura, and there it quoted all the times it said Hakol. I don't know if there's significance. I think it's just a good way to start a perek, right? A mesechet. So a bunch of mesechetot start that way. Chulin also, Hakol Shulchatin. So I think that's why. I don't think it's connected.
Was good.
Right. It's true. You definitely did a good editing job. Although we've talked about that in some mesechetot, we actually start out sort of in the middle of a topic and we don't start. So that's maybe even a better question. Why some prakim start out as if, like, this is the first thing I'm telling you. And some start out assuming, you know, Mei Matai Koinich Ma Baravin, you know, starts out the first Masechet of Shas is like we're in the middle of something, right? How about you have to say Shema once in the morning, once in the afternoon, you know, once in the evening. So it's not always like that. Malkot starts out also. Okay, Tzad Ein HaEdim Nasim Zomimim, as opposed to when De'edim Nasim Zomimim. So, anyway. So the Gemara starts off and says, Haguf Akashya. There's a contradiction within the Mishnah itself. Amar Takol Mimirim, which sounds like Lechatchila. Everyone can do Tmura, meaning you're allowed. Vahadar Tane Lo Shadam Rashai Lahamir, which means Diavad. Right? It's only B'diavad. If you already did it, well, then it's effective. So before they even answer the question, they say, V'tizbara, is that really your question? Because you want to say, V'tizbara Hakol Mimirim Lechatchila, you really think Hakol Mimirim means everyone can do tmura. If that's the case, your question is off base because adikashalach mimatnitin. Why would you even ask the question? The Mishnah contradicts itself. You have a much better question to ask. Tikshalach kra. The pasuk itself contradicts the Mishnah. And that's why I say there's a problem within the Mishnah itself. There's a problem. It goes against exactly what it says in the pasuk. Dichtiv lo yachlifenu v'lo yamiroto. The pasuk says you can't do tmura. So how can the Mishnah start out, everyone can do Tmura, when the Pasuk says, you can't do Tmura? So therefore, and that's basically saying, your question, okay, but it's a much better question if you really view it that way. And that's basically what it's saying is, the counter question is, you can't possibly think that Hakol Mimirim means everyone's allowed to do Tmura. Because there's no way you could say that, forgetting about the fact that the Mishnah says you can't do it, the Pasuk says you can't do it, which is obviously much stronger than the Mishnah itself. Ela Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, "Hachi Katani." This is the way you should read the Mishnah. Hakol matpisim b'tmura. What's matpisim? We learned this. We got to nidarim. Latpis means to transfer kedusha from, or to put kedusha onto something using words, right? So latpis usually is you take from one and you move it to another. So meaning it's effective if you do it. Echad anashim ve'echad nashim. Right, so it's effective, as we learned in the beginning. Right, it's coming to say not that you're allowed to do it, but if you did it, it's effective. It's one of these strange halachot. Right, there are other halachot like this where, and this is what we're going to deal with, where you're not allowed to do something, but if you do it, it works. Right, that's basically what we're saying.
Or maybe the opposite, because something works, you should be cautious not to do it.
Because you're making more things kadosh. No, but it doesn't actually work, because it works to put kedusha on the other item, but it doesn't work to take kedusha off your first item, right? So it works somewhat, right? But your kedusha is able to be transferred. But really, and that's, I don't view it the way you do it, because really the reason it works is the punishment, right? You actually get two punishments here. You get malka for doing it, and you lose your item.
around.
Right, exactly. Visafegata arbaim. Okay, then they're just finishing up the Mishnah. Okay, now we go to Hakol. And this is going to be a repeat of a sugya we saw in the beginning of Erechin. And there we brought all the cases. Here we're just bringing this one, which was every time, the last time they said, everywhere it says Hakol, Hakol must be coming to include someone. What's it coming to include? Hakol atuye mai, Hakol atuye yoresh. It comes to include someone who inherits his father's korban. That means that if he takes his father's korban and he says, my father chose this animal, I want to choose a different one, and he switches it, it's not allowed to be done, and it's effective, meaning the Kedusha will stay on the first one, and the Kedusha will be on the second animal. And we're going to see Udelo ke Rabbi Yehuda. And our Mishnah disagrees with the position of Rabbi Yehuda, who thinks the Yoresh is not Memir, meaning if a Yoresh came along and took his father's animal and tried to swap it, it wouldn't be effective, meaning he wouldn't be allowed to take the Kedusha off the first animal, but the Kedusha wouldn't transfer to the second animal either. Okay? So, meaning it would be an irrelevant act. Ditnan. How do we know there's a machloket about this? And how do we know one could say that Hakol includes the Yoresh? Yoresh somech, Yoresh memir. Yoresh can do smicha on his father's korban. If his father died before bringing the korban, he's allowed to do smicha. Right? Some korbanot need the owner to put his hands and lean on the animal. The Yoresh can do it on behalf of his father. And the Yoresh can do tmurah divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda omer, Yoresh eino somech, Yoresh eino memir. Okay, the two are interconnected. We'll see each one learns the base halacha from one of them, and from there learns to the other. So, my time at Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to start with Rabbi Yehuda. Why does he think neither can do smicha and neither can do tmura? Yalef tchilat hekdesh misof hekdesh. Okay, tchilat hekdesh is putting kedusha on an item. That's tmura, because that's what you're doing. You're transferring kedusha onto something else that didn't have kedusha to begin with. And sof hekdesh isn't exactly the end, the last part of hekdesh, but it's once something's already kadosh, now we're talking about something to do once it's already kadosh, which means smicha. So he says, Yalef tchilat hekdesh misof hekdesh. You can learn, basically, that means tmura from smicha. Mas sof hekdesh, yoresh eino somech. Just like when it comes to, once it's already sanctified, the yoresh can't do smicha to it. Af tchilat hekdesh, in terms of transferring kedusha and putting kedusha on something that wasn't sanctified to begin with, yoresh eino memir. Okay, so that was very helpful, except how do we know where Yoresh Eino Somech? What he basically says, we're going to learn from Yoresh Eino Somech to Yoresh Eino Memir. How do we know Yoresh Eino Somech? Usmicha gufa minalam. Where do we learn about that itself? Tlat korban oktive. In the section about a korban shlamim, it says, im yizevach shlamim korbano, and then it says, v'im natzon korbano, and then it says, v'im na'ez korbano. So now they say, why does it say korbano three times? Chad korbano v'lo korbano v'kochavim. Chag korbano v'lo korban chavero, v'chag korbano v'lo korban aviv. We darsh in each korbano to teach three things. One is to teach not the korban of a non-Jew, not the korban of someone else's korban, and not the korban of his father. Okay, so the last one is the relevant one. Yoresh is patur from smicha. From there, Yoresh is patur from tmura. But what's the other issue here? So before we move on, I just want to point out, saying not korban ovei kochavim and not korban chavero are kind of one and the same. Because if you can't do for someone else, it's obviously it's not effective if you do it for a non-Jew. So why do we need a separate pasuk for each? So some people explain that what it means, lo ovei kochavim, there's a difference between, you wouldn't necessarily be able to learn that out from lo korban chavero. Why? Because chavero is chayav in smicha, and therefore you can't do smicha instead of him. But if a non-Jew is not chayav in smicha ever, you might have thought that because he doesn't have a chiyuv smicha, maybe you have a chiyuv to do the smicha for him. That is, not that he doesn't have a chiyuv smicha, let's put it this way. An ovei kochavim is not allowed to do smicha. But you might have thought his korban needs smicha, he can't do it, so you can do it in place of him. Okay, we're going to see that same concept with the nisachim that's going to come up in a few minutes. Yeah.
Does his korban become sanctified altogether? Or is it a
So we're going to talk about this a lot today. So I'll already. Oh, I'm okay. Thanks. So let's talk about the Ovei Kochavim in general. An Ovei Kochavim is allowed to sanctify. He's allowed to bring korbanot nidarim and nidavot, meaning voluntary offerings. He can't say, I'm going to bring a korban chatat. but he is allowed to bring voluntary offerings. So now, if he's bringing voluntary offerings, the question is, do all the criteria of voluntary offerings apply to him? Like, we're going to talk about the nisachim that are supposed to go with the korbanot, the wine libations, and the smicha. So you might have thought, and that's why you need a special limud for a low korban of lekochavim, that maybe it needs smicha, you just can't do it, so therefore we do it on his behalf. Comes the pasuk saying, no, we can't be somech for him. Okay, that's the first way of darshaning those three. Now, obviously, this is Rabbi Yehuda who says, Yoresh somech, the Yoresh no somech, because korbano comes to exclude the korban of your father. Uli Rabbi Meir damar yoresh somech, so what's he going to do? Va'aktiv korbano, what does he do with that third korbano? Hahu mebaile lerabot kol ba'alei chovrin l'smicha. He comes to teach you that if you bring a korban with a lot of partners, you all get together and you say, we're all going to bring a korban shlamim, or a korban ola. Oh, by the way, I should just mention, the pasuk where it talks about the ovei chovrin that we're going to see in a few minutes, being able to be makdish his own, he can sanctify his own korban, or he can take an animal and designate it for a korban, says dafka nidarim nidavot ola l'Hashem. So there's actually a debate about whether an ovei kochavim is allowed to bring a shlamim or maybe only a korban ola. Because the pasuk is about an ola, maybe he can only bring voluntary burnt offerings where they all go up. He might not be allowed to bring a korban shlamim, which is the part that we eat the meat from. Anyway, that was just an aside I forgot to mention before. Now we're getting to, if we all jointly bring a korban together, maybe, okay, so he says, korbano, instead of, okay, in the other drashot we saw it excluded, in this case it comes to include, korbano means even your korban that you share with others. Everybody has to do smicha on that, okay? Each of the people have to do smicha. If I remember correctly, we learned that maybe it's not clear that they're all chayav, it could be one could do on behalf of the others. Rashi says actually they're all chayav, so maybe I'm not remembering correctly. Or maybe there's a debate about it. So now, if he uses korbanot to teach kol ba'alei chovrin l'smicha, what problem are we left with? Well, if Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have korbanot free for that, because he says korbanot comes to exclude the yoresh, the inheritor, so what does Rabbi Yehuda do with ba'alei chovrin? Where does he learn it from? So we're going to have two options. So Rabbi Yehuda, ba'alei chovrin l'smicha le'lei, maybe he just doesn't have that halacha. He thinks if you bring a korban with a bunch of people, you're actually not chayav in smicha. My time, what would be the reason for this? Dehalo miyachay korban didhu. It's not your own personal korban. In order to be chayav smicha, it has to be your own personal korban. Maybe the view smicha is a very personal thing. I'm kind of, you know, putting myself in place of the animals, kind of in place of me, and that would only be in an individual korban. Vi'i ba'idem. Alternatively, one could say, right, because we obviously don't know what Rabbi Yehuda holds about this, otherwise it would be easy. Lo olam itlev. Really, he does hold kol ba'alei chovrin l'smicha, and he even darshans it like Rabbi Meir does from the pasuk. But what's the difference? Korban ovei kochavim v'korban chavero mechad kra nafka di'atra lecha l'ba'alei chovrin l'smicha. Since, now that goes back to what I said before, theoretically one could connect lo korban chavero and lo korban ovei kochavim, because it's both doing smicha on behalf of someone else. Those two are darshaned out from one mention of korbano. Your korban, not someone else's, whether it be a Jew, whether it be a non-Jew, which means that yatarle, now he has an extra korbano, which is free to teach, also ba'alei chovrin, okay, those who come together. The Rabbi Meir, now, that was all, just to keep us where focused, that was all to explain Rabbi Yehuda, where he gets it, that Yoresh eno somech, Yoresh eno memir. But now, we have to explain Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir da'amar, and that's what we did was, we explained what Rabbi Meir did with his psukim, what did he darshan them for. But what about Rabbi Meir himself? Where does he get Yoresh memir, my taima? Amar lecha, im hamer yamir, look at the double, right, we've learned this many times, if it says hamer yamir, it's two times it says it, so it must be coming to include something. L'rabot hayoresh, it comes to include someone who inherits. The yalef sof hekdesh mitchilat hekdesh. Remember, the base halacha for Rabbi Yehuda was learned from smicha. From there, he learned to tamura. Here, the base halacha is by tamura, and from there, we're going to learn to smicha. Yalef sof hekdesh mitchilat hekdesh, we're going to learn smicha from tamura. Matchilat hekdesh yoresh memir, if the yoresh can put sanctity on something, obviously, once it's already sanctified, he can obviously, right, kind of come in place of his father. So, Rabbi Yehuda, now we're going to have to do, what does Rabbi Yehuda do with his psukim, as we did with what Rabbi Meir do with Rabbi Yehuda's psukim? Hi, the im hamer yamir my avile. What does he do with hamer yamir? L'rabot et ha'isha, he comes to say Amir Yamir, comes to include someone. Who does it include? Women. Okay, Uchid Tanya, and like the following Brita says, Lefisha kol ha'anyan kulo eino medaber ela lashon zachar. Since the whole thing is written in masculine form, which is a very strange thing to say because the whole Torah is written in masculine and the Hebrew language is such that masculine includes feminine, right? If you want to talk to a group of people and there's men and women, you'd say the Hebrew form would have the masculine form and it would include women. So it's a very strange thing. The Gemara is actually going to talk about also another reason why it seems strange. Shenemar, lo yachlifenu velo yamir oto. Yachlifenu and yamir is masculine, right? If it was feminine, it would be lo tamirenu or lo tamirena velo tamir ota oto. Sorry, lo tamir oto. So, since it's all written in the masculine form, isha minayim, where do we get a woman from? Tamud lamar ve'im hamir yamir lerabot et ha'isha. So that's how Rabbi Yehuda darshins, and therefore, im hamir yamir is not free to include the oresh because it's already coming to include a female. L'Rabbi Meir Isha Menaleh. So where does Rabbi Meir get the Isha from then? If Hamir Yamir is not free for him to teach about the Isha. Nafkalei mi ve'im, because it says ve'im Hamir Yamir. Right, often we darshan the Vav, or also, this is from, it's the Pasuk, this is a different Pasuk, right? This is in... What Rashi says is because it says it two times, im hamer yamir, what I didn't point out, I figured we get to this, but since we're already on it, im hamer yamir appears also at the end of that same parak, right at the end of Sefer Vayikra, in the context of Maaser Behema. If you do tmura on a Maaser Behema, not just a korban, but also on your tenth animal, there it says ve'im hamer yamir, so because it says that twice, they say, even though the context is different, but it's coming to include also women. So now, what's the issue? What's interesting about this? The Gemara says now, Rabbi Yehuda, why did Rabbi Yehuda learn it from Ve'im? Very simply, Rabbi Yehuda, Ve'im lo darish. He doesn't darshan it. He doesn't see that that's extra and unnecessary in order to darshan it. But now the Gemara points out something very interesting. Uben Rabbi Meir, Uben Rabbi Yehuda, Ta'ama de Rabbi Kha le'isha. The whole reason why women are included, the Tmura, is right that a woman, well, we'll see exactly what about this, but a woman is going to get punished if she does tmura, is because there was an extra word in the pasuk, right? Either you say v'im hamer yamir or yamir, right? V'im or hamer yamir. But halo rab yakraf, we didn't have a drasha in the pasuk, what would we have thought? Havamina ki avda tmura lo lakya. We would have assumed that if she did it, now, interesting, they don't say it wouldn't have been effective. They assume if a woman did it, it would have been effective anyway. But she wouldn't have gotten the malkot for it, okay? She wouldn't have been over on a lotase. Now, this is a very strange logic. Why is it so strange? So the Torah says, V'ha'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, didn't Rav Yehuda say in the name of Rav, and not only did he say it, V'chein tana debei Rabbi Yishmael, we have a bright up in the house of Rabbi Yishmael. Ish o isha ki asu mikol chatata adam, this is from Bamidbar Perakei, if a woman or a man, or sorry, a man or a woman, who do some chet, okay? So what do they say here? Hishva katuv isha le'ish. What do you see here? Isha and ish are the same when it comes to a chet, meaning they did a lo ta'aseh, they did something wrong in the Torah. So hishva katuv isha le'ish lechol onashim sheva Torah. For all punishments, they're equal. Okay, that's what they darshan from this pasuk, which means why all of a sudden we need a special drasha to say women also get malkot if they do tmura? It seems quite odd. Aren't women all otases, right? The only exceptions women have are mitzvot aseh shazman grama. That has nothing to do with punishments, right? Anything punishment related, women are chayavot. So now the Gemara says, and I'm going to already point out, there's two different versions of this line. Okay, so we're going to read one, then we'll read the second one in Rashi. Itzrich. Maybe that's only onashim that are the same for a yachid and a tzibur, for the an individual and a community. Since this is an onash that's not shaveh, it's not, this punishment is not applicable in all cases. Why not? Ditnan ein hatzibur vashutafino sim tmura. If you have a korban tzibur and someone says instead of this animal that we were going to bring for the korban tamid, we're going to switch it, that's not it's only for individuals, which fits in with what we saw the Rambam anyway, not the Sefer Chinuch necessarily, because he said it's all about Yirat HaKodesh. But the Rambam, who talks about that we're worried you're going to say, oh, I don't want to give this, I'm going to give something else, that was brought from communal funds. That's not, right, it's not an issue. Your stake in the communal fund offering is so small, right? Everybody kind of gave the machatzit shekel toward that. Right? It's so little that no one would ever do that, so we're not worried. And even partners, we're not worried, right? There's no issue of tmurah. So therefore, what might we have thought? Isha nami ki avda lo lakya. So therefore, since it's already not applicable in all cases, we might have thought it wouldn't be applicable to a woman. Kamashwan, that's why we need a dress shekel. Now here, it's a bit difficult because what's the connection between Sibor Yachid and a woman? A woman's an individual. It's a little not so connected. The Rashi says, if you look in Rashi about 10 lines from the top, he says, Umishane hachi garsinan, hanemile lav she'ein bo maase, bahane onashin shavin zelaze. Maybe the only time, and this works a little better, where they're similar is when it actually has a maase. Why a maase? Because look in the pasuk that they learned it from. Isho isha ki ya'asu. It needs a maase chet. This doesn't have a maase chet. Why? Because it's only in words. So therefore, I'm not going to read the rest of Rashi, but he says, you know, like Chilul Shabbat and other things that have an issur, we would assume they're equated. But when it comes to this, which is only a verbal issue, maybe you would have thought women are not included. Still, why exactly you would think, but at least it connects with the pasuk, Isho isha ki ya'asu, only when there's mamash ma'aseh. But maybe you would have thought that she wouldn't get malkot. That's why we need the drashot to teach you she gets malkot. Okay? So that's the issue of the Isha that she's included. And again, why, how did we get to that? Because the Im HaMer Yamir that Rabbi Meir used to prove how I know Yoresh is Meimir, Rabbi Yehuda uses it to prove that women have an onus of Tmura, and Rabbi Meir obviously had to learn that from somewhere else. He learned it from the Ve'im. Okay, now we're moving on. By Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama has a question, and the question is going to be, what exactly is his question? Katan Ma'u Sheyamir. A katan, can he do Tmura? So, hey Chidami, what are we talking about? Ilem a bekatan shelo higia leonat nidarim. If you remember, we talked about there's different laws. Katan wasn't always 13, and simanim, you're already a katan right nowadays. It's even no one looks for simanim, right? You're 13 years old, you're 12 if you're a girl, you're chayav ol mitzvot. Before that, you're not. Not exactly true. There's certain mitzvot that come kick in earlier. So, when a katan gets to the stage where he can already take a vow and keep to his word, so he's already going to be chayav for nidarim. So now what's the connection of Nidarim to this? Well, what's Tmura? It's basically promising something to the Beit HaMikdash. So if you want to say a katan shelo higia lo not Nidarim, that he's not of age yet to make a neder, lo tibaylach, obviously you can't even ask the question. Kevanda akdush lo akdush, if he can't be makdish something because he can't take a neder, what's a neder? One of the types of Nidarim is to say, this animal is sanctified. Well, if that's going to be that's to be an act that has no relevance, then imure meimir. What, you're going to say he could do a tmura and take the kedusha from here and move it to something else? Of course not. Ela ki kamibayle b'katan shigilo not nidarim. No, it must be. We're talking about a katan that already is at the age, he's not yet bar mitzvah, but he's already at the age where his nidarim are valid, you know, or mean something. And therefore, they're valid. So, mi amrinan kevan da amarmar ish matam lomar ki afli neder. Since when it says ish ki afli lindor neder, so ki afli neder, so what does it say ish? What do we learn the word ish comes to include? Even a sam mufla samuch li ish. What does that mean? So different interpretations, but many people assume it means a katan. I'll give you two of the interpretations. It's either a katan a year before bar mitzvah, right, or a girl a year before bat mitzvah, so 11 and 12, or it means a katan that became of age but doesn't have simanim yet. Okay? So he's samuch li'ish, right? He's almost an ish. So if you say mufla samuch li'ish, dikadsho kadosh, right? Now, his hekdesh will be good. If he says, I'm setting aside this animal for a korban, it will be valid. So you might say, now here's the question. Mida akdushe makdish imure nami meimir. Do you say, since his hekdesh could be chal, therefore his tmura is chal also, it's valid? Odilma kevan delav bar onashinhu bitmura lo mitpis. Or do you say, since he's a katan still, he can't actually get punished? Okay, it's like a juvenile, right? They don't get the same punishments as a grown up. Since he can't get punished, now It's, now think about it, it's different. Lagdish something is a positive thing to do. You say, I'm making this kadosh, and it's valid. But you don't get punishments. Well, do we view tmura more in the world of sanctifications, that you're moving the sanctity onto something else, or do we view it more in the world of punishments? Since it's a lota, say you're not allowed, and since you're not allowed, you get malkot. And since he can't get malkot because he's not of age yet, maybe it's not, the whole din of tmura isn't relevant. Maybe his tmura wouldn't actually work. That's his question. So what do they say? Right, so okay, Dilma kevan de la barona shinu b'tmura lo mitpis. Okay, that was the end. So now they say, and not furthermore, okay, the second part of the question goes like this. Im timtza lomar katan avi tmura de ha'ate lichlan ron lashin. A katan, we've said this many times, is different. We've made distinction between sometimes a katan and a woman, who, let's say, if it's a mitzvah asay, that the woman will never be chayavin. Here we're going to make a comparison, a katan and novei kochavim. A novei kochavim will never get punished. Right? There's no malka for ovdei kochavim. So you might say, since maybe a katan could do a tmura, this katan that's already mufla samuch li'ish, because his hekdesh is good hekdesh, and why? Da'ate lechlal onashim. At some point in the future, in fact, soon, he'll already be in the realm of onashim, get punished. Therefore, his tmura is valid. But ovei kochavim, ma'u sheyamir, but what about an ovei kochavim? So mi amart, do we say mida akdushe makdish, since an ovei kochavim's hekdesh is valid? This is what we talked about before, Titania, and here they're going to quote the pasuk. Ish ish, mata mulamar. Okay, this is the pasuk. Ish ish, well, they don't quote it in the Torah or. The pasuk is, right, it's ish ish that brings a neder, nidava. I forget where the pasuk appears. Do you have it there, where it appears? We'll read it inside. Kafbet? What pasuk? Okay. So, no. Yeah. Vayikra kafbet yudchet. Ish ish mi be Yisrael min a ger be Yisrael asher kriv korbano. Okay, the ger be Yisrael includes a non-Jew. Asher kriv korbano lechol nidrehem. Oh, sorry. No, not a ger be Yisrael. It's ish ish. Okay? It doesn't say non-Jew here, but they're going to darshan in the ish ish that includes the non-Jew. So ish ish mi be Yisrael min a ger be Yisrael asher kriv korbano lechol nidrehem or lechol nidvotam. That's how we get it's only voluntary. Asher krivu lashem leola. This is where I said it says specifically the ola. Okay, so what does the Braita say? Matam lomar ish ish. Why do you need the double wording? Lerabot et ha'ovdei kochavim shenodrim nidarim unidavot ki Yisrael. Okay, that they can do nidarim and nidavot. Therefore, since their kedusha works, imu reinam imemer, do we say their tamura is also effective? Odilma kevan delo ati lechlal onashin ki avit tamura lo kedesha. Since they can't be punished for it, maybe their tamura isn't effective. What you're seeing here in both of these questions is that they seem to think that maybe there's a connection between the punishment, maybe because tmura being effective, this is probably why, but let me set it up first. The punishment, the fact that you get punished, would affect whether or not the tmura is effective. And maybe that's because the tmura being effective in itself is a punishment, right? The fact that we said the second thing is really kadosh, it's not. You can't really transfer kadosh from one to the other without removing the kadosh from the first. So the fact that we transfer it is all a punishment in and of itself. So you might have said, since we don't punish them, well, maybe then we don't punish them not with lashes and not with causing the animal to become holy. Okay. So Amar Rava. So Rava says, let's try to find an answer. Tashma. Let's learn from here. Ditanya. Kodshei ovdei kochavim lo nehenim ve lo moalim. If they sanctify an animal for a korban, you can't benefit from it, midirabanan, but there's no din of me'ila de'oraita. It doesn't have sanctity midirabanan, that you're going to not be allowed to use, right? If you misuse consecrated property, there's all these dinim of me'ila. Be'ein chayavin alehem ishum pigol no tar v'tane. Okay, pigol is when you have a machshava. The kohen thinks while he's, let's say, while he's shechting it, that he's going to sprinkle the blood in the wrong time or the wrong place, or he's going to burn it in the wrong time or the wrong place. No tar is, there's a specific amount of time each korban has to be eaten, and if you don't eat it within that time, you have to burn it, and if you leave it over and you don't burn it, you're chayav and notar, and tameh is if the meat becomes tameh. Now, there's a debate about when it says, ein lahem mishum pigol notar v'tameh of an ovei kochavim sacrifice, either it means there's no issue if anyone does pigol, in other words, it's irrelevant, or it means, no, it is pigol, it is notar, it is tameh, but what happens with pigol, notar, and tameh? The real sin is if you eat it, you get karet, okay? So if you eat what's left over, or you eat the pigol, or you eat, And the karet doesn't apply if you eat the pigal notar tame of a non-Jew. So there's two different ways to understand what this means here, that it doesn't have pigal notar and tame. Ein osim tmura, that's the important line for us. Kodshe of dekul chavim, ein osim tmura, there's our answer, right? Okay, we're going to keep going on the brayta though. Ve'ein mevi'im nisachim, is what we said, they can't bring nisachim that go with their korban, aval korbanota unisachim, divrei Rabbi Shimon. But their korban needs nisachim, so what happens? Either they give money for it, and we buy nisachim, and we bring them for them, or if they don't bring money, if you remember, we have to use the communal funds in order to bring their korban with nisachim, because it can't be a korban brought without nisachim, even though they can't bring it. Some people say, you know, emavim nisachim means that they can't, that's what we talked about, was the nisachim that go with the korban. But one could theoretically say, I just want to bring a wine libation. Some people say ein mevi'in nisachim means they can't just voluntarily bring a wine libation. They can only bring certain voluntary things, not wine libations. Amar Rabbi Yossi, bekulan ani ro'e lachmir. He says, I think we should be machmir in all of these. Then comes this bamed dvarim amurim. Again, two ways to read this. Does bamed dvarim amurim apply to Rabbi Yossi or does it apply to the Tanakama? We're going to read it that applies to Tanakama. All this is said, that there's no pigal notar, ein osim tmura, ein mevi'im nisachim. Or really, the truth is, they're really focusing on the me'ila part. When is the me'ila relevant? Bekodshe mizbeach. That ein mo'alim, right? Lo nehenim velo mo'alim, meaning it's only asur midrabanan. Ava bekodshe bedek habayim mo'alim bahem. So if they took an animal and sanctified it for a korban, there's no din of me'ila. But if they took some item from their house and said, this is sanctified to the bedek habayit, I'm bringing this to the kupa that they use for upkeep of the Bana Mikdash, that has a din of me'ila de'oraita. Okay, anyway, that's not relevant for our purposes. Katani mia, in any case, what does it say in the Mishnah, the Braita? Ein osim tmura. So there's your answer. So now it's a little strange. Why Rami Bar Chama asked something where it says it explicitly in the Mishnah? So they say like this. Rami Bar Chama was really talking about the following case. He wasn't talking about a regular non-Jew in tmura, where he took his own korban. It's behikdish ove kochavim umitkaper b'Yisrael. He was makdish an animal for a sacrifice of a Jew. He was trying to help out the Jew. Batar makdish azlinan or batar mitkaper azlinan. Is the tmura a law by the makdish, the one who designated the animal, in which case we would say he's a non-Jew, would it be relevant? Or does it go by the fact that he sanctified it for a Jew, and therefore if we go by the Jew, well then there would be a din of tmura. So now here are the two. So now they say, why don't we learn it from here? Tifshot le mi de Rabbi Avahu. Let's learn his answer from Rabbi Avahu. What did Rabbi Avahu say? Da Amar Rabbi Avahu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. He said the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Hamakdish mosif chomesh. Okay, three laws he's going to say. The one is relevant for our purposes. If you're the one who's makdish, we learned about this before, you makdish your house, and then you redeem it, right? Or makdish anything, and you redeem it. When you redeem it, you have to add chomesh, and that's what we talked about today in the Sefer Chinu, in the Rambam. It's so that you don't all of a sudden try to devalue it and give less money. But mitkaper oset tmura, who's the one who the tmura goes by? The one who the korban is brought for him, and not the one who brought it, which would mean what? It goes by the Jew, it would mean, that's your answer to Rami Bracham's question, dafkan obey kochavim, who brings a korban for a Jew, and he does tmura, the tmura will be effective, because it goes by the mitkaper. Ve hatorem mishelo, o al shel chavero, tovat hana'a shelo. If I take my fruits, and your fruits, let's say I have a pile of my fruits, a pile of your fruits, and I say, I'm going to take from my fruits truma, which is going to cover the truma for your fruits also, I get to have the tovat hana'a, meaning I can decide which kohen I want to give it to. You have no rights to decide. I can decide. I can even get money for it. Remember, the Yisrael can give me money to say, give it to my my kohen relative. So tovat hana'a shelo. So there you would have your answer. So now they say, no. Amarle, Rami Bar Chama says, no, I still have a question. Because Hatan, those two cases are incomparable. Hu deka'ate mikoach Yisrael. That's when someone's doing mitkapero set tmura, is when a Jew brought it on behalf of a different Jew, and the other Jew did tmura, right? Mishum hach yazlinam batar mitkaper. V'havei leitchila tov safo b'yad Yisrael. There it was all the time dealt with by a Jew. But here's really my question. Does it have to be from the beginning to the end in the hands of a Jew in order for tmura to be effective? In order for it to be considered the reshut of the person who does the tmura? And the answer is teku. Okay, we don't know the answer. Is a non-Jew's tmura effective in that case where he's doing it on behalf of a Jew? Right? Since the tchila and the sof, it wasn't in the right in the hands of a Jew, it wasn't taken from a Jew's property and given for a Jew, would we say laws of Tamura apply or not? And we're left, unfortunately, with a question.